Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with AgriFood Economic Systems. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mussel.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Bruce.
AgriFood Economic Systems has released an independent AgriFood policy note, which examines the implications of increased systemic risk for agribusiness organizations fueled by rapid price inflation and supply chain disruption, driven by the rise of economic and geopolitical volatility. First of all, what prompted the creation of this particular AgriFood policy note?
Well, Bruce, we continue to struggle to grasp with the magnitude and pace of events and how it affects us as an agri-food trading country and exposed to all the market risks. So one aspect of risk mitigation is ownership of assets, and it takes us back I think a few decades in terms of when in business theory and economics we were thinking about these issues, but I thought it was good for us to reflect on that because as far as risk and shocks the system, it looks like it's all hands on deck. So we need to be on top of all of this.
What are we seeing in terms of price inflation and supply chain disruption, and where? What are the factors driving the situation, and what are the implications for agriculture?
Well, Bruce, we know the implications so far. It's sharply increased fuel prices, fertilizer. I suspect that early season is not going to be too bad, but late season, when we go to refill, it could be much more expensive. And boy, you look forward to on the crop side, at least 2027. We don't know what we're in for, because some of the things that have been destroyed in the war in the Middle East, if they decide to rebuild them, there'll be months or years rebuilding them. So we expect that we're going to face high prices and shortages. And some of these things, if it's grain or feed or livestock commodities, we can hedge these to some degree. But on others, we're just stuck with it. So we'll look for other ways to manage those risks. And that's a little bit what I was trying to explore in this policy note.
What challenges are being created for those involved in agriculture? What's the nature of those challenges, and just how extreme are they?
Well, how extreme are they? I guess we don't know yet. There are challenges for some people right now. The first thing that you get confronted is your working capital. So there's the inputs, whether it's fertilizer, crop inputs, feed, animal inputs. When they're a whole lot more expensive, well, that just sucks your working capital. The other thing that starts to happen is you start to actually run into shortages. And then when you get shortages, and some of your listeners experienced this during COVID. And I remember, for us at one time, in machinery parts. Well, you buy, two or three times as many parts than what you really need, just so you'll have them when you don't know when you're going to be able to get them again. Well, this all soaks up cash from the farm business. So there's that financial aspect to it. And then there's just, what do you do if they're just not going to be available at any price? And, what we know right now, for example, Western Europe, reading about some of their industrial chemical industries in parts of Germany and Switzerland, for example, where they're dependent on imported natural gas. Well, some of them are just shutting down. So that includes their fertilizer industry. So, again, I suspect that they're a little bit in our situation. A lot of their fertilizer for this season is probably already made. But next season, what are they going to do? It may simply not be available. So that takes us into asset ownership. When you own some of the facilities that you would otherwise maybe buy, then it's some insulation from both the price volatility and the worry that the product wouldn't even be available to begin with.
In terms of formulating strategies to address the situation, what needs to be considered and why, and what potential solutions might be available?
Well, if we go back to, let's say the early 1980s and some of the economic and business thinking at the time, well, we had this idea that a business would figure out what it is that they needed to own based on how difficult it would be to contract for it otherwise. The more unique, or the term that's used is idiosyncratic. That means unique or difficult to replicate, et cetera. So the more unique it is, the more expensive it is to write a contract for it. So some of these things that are, let's say, non-commodities, you may have no choice but to own yourself. Other things, if it's more of a commodity, there's nothing particularly unique about it. It's fairly inexpensive that you can have a contract for something like that. So you don't have to have that part as part of your business. You can just buy that off the marketplace from somebody else. At the same time, we started this thinking, which eventually morphed into what we call today's supply chain. But Bruce, I'm old enough to remember when supply chain was kind of an academic thing, and we didn't talk about it regularly all the time. It's really, you have to go back to the 1980s, and Michael Porter was the writer I remember, who was the business person who was talking about looking at a business and pulling it apart into its different activities, and then doing these kinds of analyses. So one that will be familiar to some people is called activity-based costing, where you go through an enterprise by enterprise in the business. You try to determine whether on a standalone basis that these things are profitable, or are they really cost centers. And the idea at the time was, well, it's a cost center. Why would you do that? You get rid of that. You find somebody else to do that. Why that's relevant today is, that line of thinking, by and large, any conglomerate company, doesn't matter whether it's in agriculture or food or what it's in, over time, the whole business has been, well, how do we break them up and dismember them into their constituent parts? Because there's money to be made from doing that. And that's been our experience of the last 25 years or so. You don't hear a lot about the formation of conglomerate companies, I guess maybe with the exception of your Amazon and Google and some of these tech things, but in other industries, including agriculture and food, you don't hear much about that. Well, what's discussed in the policy note is, well, what allowed for that was really a pretty low risk environment. We have a higher risk, and some of these things, can't be easily put together in a contract, and it's harder to depend on somebody else. You've got no choice, but you have to own those assets. And the worry is, Bruce, that we're going back to that world where, you got much more risk. It's going to be more difficult to contract with people. You could get into all sorts of disputes if you try that, and you're going to be forever trying to sort this out. You're better off being invested in it and then moving these things essentially internally within a company, and a firm is a company in that same sense.
What do policymakers need to be keeping in mind as a result moving forward?
Well, I mean, this is, to a large degree, I think, more of a business management, farm management type of a thing than it is a particular policy innovation. But, where we've got lenses around mergers and acquisitions, concentration, and so on in markets. We want to make sure that we're at least, if you have more of a movement to go back towards integrating some of these things under common ownership rather than partitioning it all out across supply chains, you want to make sure there's nothing in your policy that is preventing that, because that could prove to be prudent risk management.
How can anyone interested access the Agri-Food Policy Note or get more information?
Well, it's on our website. It's at agrifoodecon.ca is the website. That's the easiest place to get the full paper.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I wouldn't want your listeners to think that, you know, this intuition is only about big companies. It's not just about big companies. It's about farms too. And, probably everybody's been, you know, maybe on a bus tour or heard about somebody who has where, you know, maybe they go to a big feedlot and, you know, they'll have a big, let's say a big forage harvester there. And then right behind it, there'll be another one parked there. And somebody will invariably say, well, what do you do with the other harvester? Well, they'll say, well, that's if the first one breaks. Well, that's asset investment in risk. And the idea is that you're so dependent on your feed quality. If that machine were ever to break, in the time it's going to take you to find somebody else to come in with their harvester to chop the rest of your crop, you would be better off to have had the hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in having a spare one just sitting there just in case. Same thing on when feed gets really expensive. That hasn't happened yet. Maybe it won't, but history tells us that when the petroleum complex goes way up in price, the carbohydrate price goes up with it. And you and I talked about that just a couple of weeks ago, Bruce. So I'm expecting that is probably the next thing that's going to get going is you get a real bull market on the feed side. Well, if I know a lot of your audience are pork producers. If you're feeding pigs, and you know, you get a tremendous spike in the feed price, that could really hurt some of your little pig suppliers. And all of a sudden little pigs get very expensive or very difficult to find. Well, you know, maybe that's something you have to look at saying, well, you know, I need to invest in that. Because in order for my business to run, I got to have pigs to feed. And one way to hedge, to lay off that risk is to own the whole production system. Now, there's challenges that come with that, and I wouldn't want to underestimate them. But the point is, that has not been our prevailing thinking. Our prevailing thinking has been to partition each of these things out and try to scale them up as individual businesses. And my suggestion and concern is that we may have to shift that back to integrating more of them together as a means of risk mitigation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with AgriFood Economic Systems. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.